Welcome back, 12s, to the Seahawkers podcast. This is Brandon Schultz and Adam Emmert with you. And today on the show, we have William Cornell. He's the creator of the Rain City Redemption series. And you can find those videos at vimeo.com/William Cornell. Welcome to the show, William.
Thanks for having me, guys. Good talking to you.
Hey, we've definitely been waiting on
following the videos. There's no doubt about it.
Absolutely, and this one is as good as the rest. So we wanted to have you on and talk a little bit about it.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, you know, before we get into it, we just had a game against the Cardinals. It was kind of a big game. Seahawks did pretty well. So I wanted to get your take on it.
They did pretty well. You know, I can't lie. I didn't predict the blowout that it ended up turning out to be, but I felt pretty good going in. I just felt that with the defense that we have and the type of quality quarterback that they had under center that game, I expected a win. I guess I just didn't really predict 35-6.
Well, I
think like most people.
Yeah, I don't know if most people predicted that high score, but it was definitely a different level of confidence among fans. You know, there was like the super overconfidence, like, okay, Lindley's at quarterback, you know, we're going to stomp him. And then there's that kind of quiet confidence, like, yeah, look, we know we're the better team, but you can't take everybody for granted type of confidence.
Well, I went 3 scores, just 9-0. That was my prediction.
That's right.
Yeah.
I think my prediction was like something like 17-10. I just thought, I mean, they have a pretty good defense, but I don't know. I was listening to the radio earlier today, and I think they brought up a good point. I think at some point they just broke. It was when you have your defense on the field for an entire 4 quarters of a game, you're eventually going to break down. I think that's exactly what happened. That was really the tail of that game.
Absolutely, and I think it helped the Seahawks a little bit to have guys like Robert Turbin and Kristen Michael out there on the field early, and then when Marshawn Lynch was ready to go, then you saw what he did. You know, he went out there and he rolled off another one of his runs that we saw about 4 years ago.
Yeah, should be good footage for the next one, right?
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Volume 2.
So let's talk a little bit about the Rain City Redemption series. Could you explain that for someone who may not be familiar with it?
Because they're living under a rock.
That would probably
okay, if you're
be
a Seahawks fan. You better have heard of it. That's all I'm saying.
That's right.
Well, it's for anyone who hasn't seen it. It's an episodic series that basically just follows the turnaround from the beginning and end of the end of the Holmgren era, starting with the Pete Carroll, basically from the beginning of the Pete Carroll era in Seattle. And, I guess just follows you through the ups and downs of what it's like to be a Seahawks fan. And, I guess that would really be it up until this point.
So where did the idea for the Rain City Redemption series come from? What kind of motivated you to start that?
Well, to be honest, there's a little bit of an unfortunate truth behind the inspiration to make it. And it really came after it was when I was a senior in college. I was just kind of going through the rounds on YouTube, and I stumbled across a 49ers documentary. And it was a half hour video. And for as much as I hate that team, I just figured, okay, I think I'll click on it. I'm curious. But I think the title it came across as it being a story. So I said, all right, you know, I might as well look something up. And, I ended up clicking on it, and it was pretty good. For as much as I disliked the team, that organization, it was a good job. And so I just couldn't help but thinking after that, you know, wow, someone should really do this for our team. Cause I think it would be pretty easy to do. And, you know, but I hadn't edited video at the time. So, you know, my thought process was, wow, someone really should do this, but it's not going to be me. So I guess all I can do is hope that ESPN picks this up or some other dedicated fan can do it. And it wasn't until about 3 months later, it wasn't until we beat the Patriots on the Sidney Rice play, for those that remember, that I decided, because the story had really at that point really come together. There's a couple great stories with the exception of the Pete Carroll, of course, the Russell Wilson story. Bruce Irvin was also coming together, and it seemed like the pieces were falling in all the right places. So I figured, you know, someone's got to do this. And I finally just took the extra step. And it was that night after the Patriots game in 2012 that I just said, you know, if I don't know how to use these programs, I might as well just learn how to do them. And that was kind of where it came from.
So it was just kind of a self-taught deal. You just got right into it and started figuring out how to do it?
Yep, absolutely. You know, the fortunate thing was at the time I was working in the library at school. And so I was working in a library job where I basically was a lab monitor. And so my job description was basically watch people and make sure they don't bring food or drink into the computer lab. So what that really, you know, was just, you know, 4 to 8 hour shifts of just doing absolutely nothing but homework. And so I just figured it was a good time to start. And I, you know, I got a copy of Adobe Premiere and I started the whole thing. And that was, I just kind of learned as I went.
Now, one of the things I think you do a great job of is you kind of mentioned story with the other video you clicked on. You do really tell the story and give some backstory into each of the characters that have made up this team. Since you've kind of gone through and watched a ton of footage, obviously, of kind of the individual players, who's your favorite character kind of from this story? Not your favorite player, but kind of your favorite character.
You know, with all the research that I've done on kind of the quote-unquote characters in the story, I can't help but favor Pete, just because his backstory coming out of, you know, where he's from and, you know, coming out of community college and his ups and downs in the NFL, I couldn't help but favor him as the favorite. I mean, Russell Wilson's kind of the other obvious one, but then I think my second pick would be either between Russell or Earl, because I just, watching film on Earl Thomas all these years has just been a treat. I mean, the guy is just so intense. He's unmatched in that phase.
I think it's kind of interesting that you picked Pete Carroll, because being a guy who went to University of Oregon, being a Pac-12 guy, I think there's some that similarity with University of Washington fans, where, you know, there was really that kind of dislike for Pete Carroll before he came to Seattle. So how was that turnaround for you?
It was difficult. Ever since the Sonics left, I've been a Bulls fan. I know this is kind of on a different street, but I basically became a Bulls fan ever since the Sonics left, and it was a similar feeling when LeBron James was going to come to the Bulls. I don't know if you guys remember that a couple years ago, but it was kind of the same feeling of like, okay, like now I'm gonna have to root for someone that I have not liked, because I know at some point I'm gonna eventually, you know, turn the other cheek. And it was the same with Pete Carroll. I will still remember. In the morning, it was in early January in my apartment, and the news had come down, and it was Colin Cowherd, and he said, "Oh, there's breaking news that Pete Carroll's headed to Seattle," and I just remember being so upset because I knew, for as much as I hated him, I was going to have to eventually like him. And so, I mean, obviously, I've changed my tune a little bit.
So, one of the things with the new the episode XLV III 40 or 38. We were kind of, it sounded like it was going to be an August release, and it took a little bit longer than normal. What's the biggest challenge in putting videos like these together?
It's a hard question to answer. I think the hardest thing is just forcing yourself to get through it, because what you'll end up doing is, it's very tedious and it requires a lot of patience. And I think that's the hardest thing, especially when you're trying to edit video in the summer when your friends are going out, you know,
right?
Sun's out. I've set a deadline for myself and I have to go edit video for 8 hours while, you know, the Blue Angels are flying over my apartment. It's just like, I think that's been the most difficult part, but, you know, it's just the dedication that you have to put into it has been the most difficult part up until this point. As far as technically speaking and putting things together, you know, content searching is pretty difficult at times because you're looking for the exact, you know, you're looking for the exact quote or, you know, the exact video that's going to tell the story the proper way. And so I think going back to the time it's taken has been the most difficult.
So one of the things with the latest episode, Percy Harvin is a huge part of it. Really, that whole acquisition of Harvin takes up a really good part of the initial story.
Well, as it should. I mean, it was a big part of the season, you know?
Right. No, and I thought so too. And I did kind of want to get your thoughts though on when that Harvin trade came down this year. Did that, you know, how did that impact you, and did it play any part of toward your thoughts toward keeping that much of it as part of the story?
Well, I'm glad you asked, because I haven't really had the chance to voice my thoughts and the reasoning behind it. It's really just for two reasons. Second reason, obviously, coming after the trade. But the first reason is just as a reminder to anyone who's seen it. I kind of tell the story as how I remember. I remember when he was traded to us, it was the biggest deal. I mean, I know we had gone 11-5 and we had a pretty promising playoff run, and we seemed like we were kind of, you know, on the tip. And, when he came, it just felt like that was the biggest thing surrounding the Seahawks that preseason. And that's from my perspective. It may not go along with everybody else's perspective, but that's how I remember it. And I just remember it was nothing but Percy Harvin, and that's all that anyone was talking about. So that's how the story went, you know, from my perspective. And then the second reasoning for keeping all of his footage in there was the point was, you know, for keeping him in that, you know, whole preseason sequence, is that people thought that when he was injured, the Seahawks were going to go back down to earth, because everyone was thinking, oh, well, these guys are going to be Super Bowl champions with Percy Harvin. But then when he was injured, people said, okay, well, you know, they've lost, you know, they've now lost their, you know, their one missing piece. And so now they're going to be just, you know, the team that they were. But the point is, we won without him. And so that's why I decided to keep it. It was just to show that despite, you know, missing our quote unquote missing piece, we still were able to win games, and we were Super Bowl champions without him.
Well, I was actually really glad that it was in there the way it was, because it matched up really well with my perspective of how that offseason went. And like
exactly.
You said, it had that when he was injured, it did have that impact in as far as the national media. So,
well, yeah, yeah. Even on the fan at the time as well. I mean, what I like about it is it's from your perspective during that time. It's like a snapshot of that, rather than kind of having the revisionist history that maybe a fan would feel like they would have now. After hearing the full Percy Harvin story come to light. So that was really well done, I thought. So what's the big plan next? I mean, what's the next project on the horizon? Is this something you want to keep doing? Because, like you said, it does cut into, you know, beer time and hanging out at the Blue Angels, you know? So is this something you want to keep on doing and keep on producing? Or what's your plan?
I absolutely do. It's another tough question, because there needs to be another story, because I feel like this was kind of last year was kind of the end to the build up and the rising. It was kind of a good conclusion to what had happened already. So it depends. I mean, I'll be honest, if they go to, I don't want to say this, but if they go to the playoffs and they don't make it this year, or they fall short, I just don't know if I can make another one. And kind of, I think there's a whole point of the whole episode going up to that, where to show that it's going to happen at some point. And the Super Bowl is kind of the conclusion to all that buildup. So it's tough. And if, you know, I'm hoping that the Mariners do well. I'd love to do, you know, videos based on the Mariners. They haven't provided me with a story yet, but I'm knocking on wood for that.
How are they working on it, though?
I would love to do it. I think they show a lot of promise this year. I know that us as, you know, Seattle fans, we get that every year, but I feel good about it.
So how does that work when you talk about just kind of seeing a story come together? When you first started this, did you kind of have an idea in mind? Like, had you watched enough of the Seahawks to know, okay, this is a team that's starting to come together, it's building, and that's why it would make a good story?
Yeah, like I said, it was after that Patriots game that I just saw. I mean, it was clear at that point. It was week six into Russell Wilson's rookie season, but at that point, I was like, all right, well, this guy is something special. And I think that we have something special here. And I think in the near future, this will be worth documenting, because I just had a strong feeling that it was going to happen. And to be honest, I've really got lucky along the way. You know, if Richard Sherman doesn't tip that pass, who knows how many videos I would have had to make to finally get to the end.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's worked out.
So one of the things that's really cool about your videos is that you essentially allow the story to narrate itself with the clips that you use. So how much of a challenge is that? You talked about having to kind of comb through the footage. Do you know what you're looking for, or do you watch enough to where the picture kind of forms and you can see the things that you want to pull from it?
It's the process of just finding actual quotes or general ideas that help tell the story, because, you know, going back to the Percy Harvin example, the whole point of that was I know going in that I have to find clips of, you know, media saying, oh, well, without Percy Harvin, the Seahawks, you know, they don't have that missing piece. And I go in knowing that I have to find clips like that. So it's just a search for that kind of idea or that type of quote, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, it's great. And, you know, one thing I wanted to ask you is, what do you get out of it? Why do it?
The true reasoning behind it, actually from the beginning, was just so that me and my brother could relive the moments, you know, a decade from now. I've hated that we can't really find a lot of footage on the 2005 and 2016. Cause those were great years. Those, I mean, I started following the Seahawks back in 2000 when I was old enough to actually, you know, realize what was going on. So I think I basically started from the beginning of the Holmgren era, and that was a great kind of end to his era. I mean, the 2005, that mid 2000s teams, those were pretty awesome teams, but we really don't have any footage to relive those moments. And so that was kind of the biggest motivation behind this series, was that, wow, you know, in 10 years, I would hate to not be able to look back on Russell Wilson's rookie year and his development and, you know, watch the Pete Carroll story really come full circle. So that was kind of the initial motivation. And then, you know, it's just kind of gone from there, really.
Well, I know on behalf of all Seahawks fans, we want to thank you for doing that, because it's awesome. I love having that repository. And then also, too, you know, having a lady friend being like, what's the big deal with this team? Well, here's a movie about it. Check it out. And, like, you put it on the screen, and she really got into, like, Russell's story and all that. So I think you did a great job with that. So thank you very much for that. It'll be something that we will all treasure forever, no doubt.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's funny that you brought that up, because I have the exact same problem with my current girlfriend. when I met her, she had not followed the Seahawks. She's not from Seattle. So, you know, she goes, well, you know, how can you follow a team that's just, you know, hasn't won a Super Bowl? And it's just like, well, how do you describe that to someone without sounding, you know, ridiculous? So you have to kind of show. And I've wanted to show her, you know, footage of, you know, this is what I was watching when I was a kid. I was watching, you know, 2005, you know, the Super Bowl run with Mike Holmgren. You know, it was those special years that you just can't show anyone other than to tell them. So it's like, you know, you kind of have to have something down the road for, you know, my possible next girlfriend. I don't know.
Well, I really want to, like Adam said, just echo my appreciation too as a Seahawks fan. And one of the things that we're seeing now, we're seeing this team come together at the right time, just kind of like we saw last season. And they're looking really good. Now, what's your outlook on the team going forward? Are you looking any farther past the Rams game? Or are you just looking to get in the playoffs? What are you looking for?
I don't think you never really overlook the Rams, just because they always seem to play the division just so damn tough. I don't know. It's a home game, and I expect that they'll win, but I don't think that anyone in that locker room is saying, yeah, we're looking forward to 3 weeks from now. But I feel good. You know, I've actually, and to be honest, I felt good all year. I was saying, you know, back when we lost to Kansas City and everyone was kind of freaking out, I don't think that this team has been that much different from our Super Bowl team. I think that there were a lot of games last year that were very close, and I think a lot of people don't realize that we could have easily been a 9-7 or 10-6 team last year with, you know, if you change just a couple plays along the way. And so that being said, I think that our losses this year have kind of come down to that. You know, the Terrence Williams catch on that 3rd and 20 against Dallas was one of those plays. If you don't have that play, they might not score, and that's a win. The Kansas City game, if you change one of those 4th down plays, it's a different outcome. So sometimes, you know, when you're a defensive-oriented team, that those games will come down to that. And, you know, they just fell short a couple times this year, but I don't think that was really symbolic of the, you know, the team at all. I just thought sometimes that's just how it goes.
Well, if there's any positive to some of the tough situations that the Seahawks have gone through this year, you won't have any problem finding video of those doubters come mid-season.
Yeah.
And, and then the comeback will just be spectacular again, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that's been another thing. A lot of people said, "Oh, well, you didn't show enough. You didn't show enough negativity in this most recent video." Well, there really wasn't any. I don't know. I remember watching the media last year, and it was all, we were Super Bowl picks from the beginning.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there wasn't really a lot of doubt. I couldn't find anything.
Well, it was. I mean, you had the doubt going into the Super Bowl for sure, and you had, like you said, some of that.
And that played up well.
It did. Know. Yeah. No. Absolutely. So I felt it was just the right amount. And we have a Broncos fan sitting in the room behind us,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I just got the bird in after you said that. Oh, they just scored and went up on the Bengals like just now. But they're going up by one.
Well, William, for folks who want to follow you on Facebook or on Twitter, where do they go to find you?
It's facebook.com/RainCitySeries. My Twitter is at RainCitySeries. It's usually as easy as just Googling Rain City Redemption, and then my profile should show up. That's pretty easy.
All right. Well, William, I really want to thank you for coming on, taking time, and again, thank you for the latest episode of Rain City Redemption. It is outstanding.
I appreciate it. Hey, thanks for having me on, guys.
All right. Go Hawks.
Go Hawks.